down here hanging out in Alabama. We wouldn't be here without Pepper Boxing, Volunteers, Hose and Gasket, Transportation by Walker Chevrolet. Want to thank all of those guys. And, you know, you never know who's going to pop by the table and just hop on the radio with you. And so we got one of the best in the business, Booger McFarland, just happened to be walking by, and I bear hugged him, and yeah, he threw me off like a child.
I was going to say, first of all, I didn't just pop by. You kind of commandeered me as I was walking by, so let's not act like I was just, hey, guys, can I come on with you? That's, I mean, that make me a groupie.
Why you gotta do us like
that? Man, you make me a groupie. Like, I'm just looking for airtime.
I'm pretty sure I saw you side-eye me. As you walked by, you're like, what up?
Nah. Maybe if you were like Jay-Z, but I don't do country.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. We'll make a transplant out of you. Like, in a year, I'll have you in a big, like, cowboy hat.
I'm with you, dude. I don't do country.
I'm still thinking, like, Garth Brooks is cool as far as country.
Garth is cool.
But, I mean, you got the Zac Brown Band. You got Kenny Chesney. You got so many Florida Georgia Line. I need to stop before people think I'm really into this.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
Suddenly all of a sudden we're finding out. Like,
once you get to Florida Georgia Line, you know you have life problems.
I kind of want to grab your phone now from you and just be like, what's really on the playlist for Booger? By the way, very sweaty post workout Booger.
I was
going to
say, what do you have on the playlist when you just got done running, right?
Yeah, I don't listen to music. Like, when I'm running, I want to hear nature. I want to hear people drive by. Hey, Booger, bop, bop. Like, that's what I want to hear people say that. Because most of the time when I run in Tampa, like, people will recognize me. And so I don't mind, like, throwing the hand up, saying hello, and being a conversation piece. Like, that doesn't bother me. If you're going to run outside, which I like doing, and you got to be kind of personable. Like, if you don't want to deal with anybody, go get on the treadmill, lock into Mari Povich, and just start striding out, you know?
I love that you went Mari.
He is not the father.
So far we know Mari Povich and FGL. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned. So let me ask you a football question since we have you here. I mean, we might as well. Butch Jones today, and this is sort of one of our conversations. When you look at Tennessee, can they recreate, can they get rid of whatever the culture problem was last year that made them a disappointing team?
Well, I'd say no, because I don't think the culture problem was the issue. I just think sometimes you have a coach that can get you to a certain point. Let's look at Mark Richt in Georgia. He got them to 10 wins every year, just about, but they couldn't get over the hump. So they bring in a new guy to make a change. I think you're kind of reaching the same thing at Tennessee. I think Butch Jones got this team before he got there the 2 years previously in the SEC. They were 2-14. So now you bring in Butch. He comes with every slogan known to man, brick by brick, champions of life, you know, let's chase the 25, like all these different things. And the team comes a long ways, but they still haven't gotten to the point. Even in a year where they beat Georgia and Florida, they lose to Vanderbilt. And you're saying, okay, so how can you – because if I'd have told you before the season started they're going to beat Georgia, they're going to beat Florida, you'd have bet your house they was going to Atlanta.
Yep.
But they didn't. And I think he's a guy who has trouble getting his team to play at a certain level week in and week out because he's had talent. I mean, last year they had 17, 18 starters coming back. They had talent, and they couldn't get it done. So if you look at this year, I don't care what the culture is. If you don't have the talent, I get it. You know, Garantano may be a good quarterback. I don't know. I don't know who they're going to put in at quarterback. But they don't have the same dudes. Like, the dudes on defense. Okay, Barnett and Vereen, them dudes are not there. Cam Sutton's gone. So the dudes you need to win, they don't have. So I think this is going to be a tough year for Tennessee. I think it's going to be a tough year for Ole Miss. I think it's going to be a tough year for Missouri. Like, teams that have a couple pieces, but I just think it's going to be a really tough year for them.
So Georgia and Florida, you think, are just from a talent perspective. I mean, Florida loses Jeff Collins, great defensive coach. He's gone. 8 starters off that defense. It looks like, you know, maybe they have their answer at quarterback. Georgia's bringing everybody back. But it still doesn't feel like the talent gap is there. Do you think that there's a talent gap between Florida and Georgia and Tennessee?
Yeah. I think Georgia's the more talented team. They're young, though. Last year was Kirby's first year. This is his first recruiting class that cycled in. So they're young. They're still buying into his program, his package on defense. They're going to be pretty good. The key to Georgia's the offensive line. Their offensive line was terrible last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're Jacob Eason and you're this hot 5-star quarterback who comes on campus, who walks around with his chest out, he's taking a pounding. Now, credit to them, they get Chubb and Michelle back, all right? But the wide receiver game is limited. Terry Godwin has, by and large, been a disappointment since he's been there. So you got to figure out how are they going to manufacture offense. Is it going to be Eason throwing underneath? Are they going to put Michelle out in the slot? Like, how are they going to manufacture offense? And then Trenton Thompson is a guy who's got to be a difference maker on defense. But to answer your question the long way, I'm giving you the fifth answer right now. I'm taking you around the circles and bringing you back.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia,
storytelling. It's called storytelling.
Yeah, it's called filling it when you got 15-minute segments. Georgia's the most talented team in the East. Usually talent wins out. And I thought last year the most talented defense won the East, which was Florida.
Yep.
I think Georgia's team is more talented this year. If not Georgia, then who? Florida? Florida doesn't know who their quarterback's going to be. And don't tell me Malik Zaire, he couldn't cut it at Notre Dame. You don't just let good quarterbacks just walk out the door. I think he's okay, he's serviceable, but he's not a good quarterback. Who is it, Tennessee? Are we thinking Jake Bentley in South Carolina? Their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Are we thinking someone else? Kentucky? Kentucky's my dark horse in the SEC East, depending on what they do on defense. I like Kentucky. They got a lot of guys back. They know who they are. Offensively, they're going to run the football. They got a decent receiving core. So overall, I honestly think it's Georgia. It's probably Florida. I throw Kentucky right there, and then everybody else after that.
Mm. Everything you're saying there speaks to fatal flaws in these different teams. Is there just a chance the East isn't good this year?
I think the SEC overall is not as good as last year, and last year wasn't as good as the year before. The East is down. The East depends on Georgia, Florida, Tennessee to be up. Well, those schools aren't up this year. Georgia may be up. Florida is iffy at best. And Tennessee, I think Tennessee is going to be abysmal. I think Butch Jones, the people at Tennessee are going to have to make a decision at the end of the year. Do you take a chance on being great, or are you satisfied with being good? That's what everybody in Knoxville has to ask themselves. Because if you take a chance at being great, there's a chance you go back to being terrible, the way they were before Butch got there. And so overall, the talent, the SEC is fighting. I think my biggest storyline this week is who's going to be number two? Because we all have Alabama, Pennsylvania at one. Who's the two? Is it Auburn? We don't know. I mean, we hadn't seen Stidham play major college football in a long time. Georgia, they got questions there. So who's number two in the SEC? That's the biggest question mark in this conference.
Well, and I think it speaks to – I think the coaching is the issue there because we don't know. Like, there's just question marks. Like, what is Coach O going to do? What is Kirby Smart capable of? You talked about it, Butch Jones capping out. Maybe he's built that program to as high as he can take it. So the questions are all about the coaches at this point, and it's more of, are these teams really this bad, or has Nick Saban just made them all look this bad? And there's, you know what I mean? Like, is Gus Malzahn a great coach, or is he just not as good as Saban? Like, we can't tell how good these coaches are.
Let's take Saban out of it because he's one of the greats of all time. Let's measure the coaches in this conference against their peers. Saban is not their peer. I don't care. Like,
right.
If you're being compared to the greats of the game, like Bear Bryant and Florida State, Bobby Bowden and Paterno at their prime, you're not in the class with Dan Mullen. I mean, I'm just to be honest with you, you're not in that class. So let's compare the guys in the SEC to their peers, which are the other 13 coaches. And let's figure out who the second best coach in this conference is. Who is it? Is it Jim McElwain? I think McElwain does a phenomenal job from a schematic standpoint, X's and O's. Dan Mullen, you can argue.
I'd go Mullen for sure.
Yeah, but okay, if that's the case, then he's got to do a little bit more. And he's tried to get out of Mississippi State the last 2 years. I don't care what they say. Like, he wanted the Miami job. They didn't want him. So who's the second best coach in this conference?
Yeah.
Is it Kevin Sumlin? They've given him more tools to work with. He hasn't built anything. So who's the second best coach in this conference? Don't compare him to Saban. Compare them to their peers, which are the other 13 guys that they're competing against.
Only one of them has been to a championship game, and that was Gus. So maybe it's Gus. Maybe that's your answer there. I mean,
do you believe that, Brayton?
I think Dan, from an X's okay. and O's standpoint, I think Dan Mullen is the best coach.
Okay, so let's not throw out Gus like he's the second coming of Sonny Dykes back in the day.
But your point is we could answer it six different ways. I mean, that's your point.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
We could argue this until we're blue in the
face. I wouldn't throw Gus out first, though. Just like if you do an interview later on, like on national radio, like don't throw Gus out first.
You're listening to Brayden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're talking to Booger McFarland. So where are you on Coach O now that we've had some time to settle in?
Coach O is I don't know. I like the hire. I love what he brings. But now that we're past the honeymoon phase, it's kind of like when you get married. You know, you date her. You know, you go through the engagement, wedding night. It's great. You're like, yes, it is on. The first 6 months, and then finally you come home, and the entire house is rearranged. She didn't ask you. Toothbrushes left out everywhere. It's that time of the month, so she's got female things laid everywhere. And you're like, what in the hell did I get into? And the honeymoon phase is over. And now what you have to ask yourself is a really simple question. Why did I fall in love with her? That's what you fall back on. So if you're an LSU fan, you got to ask yourself, why do we love Coach O? Or why do we fall in love with him? Number one, he wasn't Les Miles. He wasn't afraid to put his players in the right position to make plays. He can do that. Number two, how are you going to develop an offense? He went out and hired the most innovative guy that was available in the game in Matt Canada. He hired a guy who basically took Peterman up at Pitt and made him look like the second coming of Joe Montana at times. I mean, accurate. The offense put up a lot of points. And that's the most important thing. LSU has had a hard time scoring points. Guys, they were top five in the nation in defense last year. Now, you put that defense and score 25, 30 points a game, you can see a recipe. So, once again, giving you the Fitz answer, getting back, what is Coach O? Coach O is a guy, I think, who understands what his role is. His role is really simple. His role is to put people in position to succeed. He's done that with Aranda. He's done that with Canada. Now the question is really simple. I'm going to ask him this question. I'm going to ask him today. When he steps on the podium, what's going to be different?
Yep.
What's going to be different between you and Les Miles?
Yep.
Because that's the question ultimately that's going to define whether you succeed or not.
Well, the column, you could write the same column about LSU 2008, and you could have written the same column every day, every summer. And this year's not much different. You still got questions at quarterback. Defense is unbelievably loaded and talented. You got a great coordinator in David Aranda. Like, my question about Matt Canada is does all the tricks and the formations and the misdirection and all the cuteness, does that work against Bama? And does that work against, you know, Auburn and Georgia and Florida's defense? Like, that's kind of my – I want to see that from Canada, and maybe it does. It might be, but that's my question about the offensive scheme.
I asked him this question. I said, my biggest concern about your offense is that it's soft. I say soft doesn't win in this conference. Ask Ole Miss. They've never played for a championship.
Don't run the ball.
Ask A&M. They've never played for an SEC championship. I said Auburn has done it when they've had an elite guy at the quarterback position. I said usually soft doesn't win in this league. And he said what we do is kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. Hey, it's still a pig. We're still going to be a physical running football team. We just do it with a lot of window dressing. So he assured me because I told him, I'm going to call you out now. I said LSU's always – the one thing that LSU's always been able to do, and they've done it better than anybody. If you go back and look at the Alabama game last year, it's the only time Alabama ended the fourth quarter, other than against Clemson, where you thought, I don't know about this one.
Yep.
Only game. Only game last year other than Clemson where they ended the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, this is a coin toss. Because they physically match up with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose that. So Coach O and Matt Canada's job, they can't lose the physicality. And hopefully they won't.
One of the best in the business, Booger McFarland, taking some time joining us this morning. Booger,
well, I was forced to, first of all. Stop saying I just stopped by.
Wait. He was commandeered.
If anybody has ever seen a picture of me and a picture of Booger, I don't think I can force you to do anything.
This is a good point.
I'm afraid of the tattoos. I don't like the tattoos.
I got street cred? I got street cred.
Well,
they don't
perception.
Wear off.
Perception. Okay, yeah.
Perceptionally, you have street cred. But,
oh, God. You just made my whole day.
I'm just saying.
I'm total thug. That's what we know now. People are scared of me. Booger McFarland joining us, man. We appreciate your time.